Is this on? Okay. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes this morning. We are in the final chapter of this book, Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12, and we will start in verse 1. Let's read the Word of God. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and the terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the Spirit of God returns to God, or the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we exalt your holy name. You are righteous and just, and we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come to your word and gives us insight and lifts our spirits. Thank you for the joy you give to us each day. Lord, I pray you would help us to walk in your ways, help us to understand life is fleeting, that this life is going very quickly, Lord, and we one day will be over. Help us to make the most of the days that you've given us. We don't know how long that is going to be, but we are thankful that you are in control. We're thankful for the way you continue to work in our hearts, Lord. And I pray each day we would seize the day and live the day for you, God, and for your kingdom and for your glory, and that we may not be wrapped up in the vain things of this world or our own selfish desires, but that we would seek and desire godly and heavenly things and eternal things, that we may prepare ourselves, Lord, for our eternal home, and it is coming, and we are thankful for that, that this life of pain and suffering and death and all those things will one day be gone. We are grateful for that. Just continue to instill in us a desire to know you. Bless our time together this morning. Give me the words to say, Lord, and help me to speak your word with power, and help all of us to be attentive and learn, and let your word sink into our heart. Lord, it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to get to the final chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We touched on Ecclesiastes 12 just a little bit last week, and today we're going to expound on that. I talked about how the very beginning of chapter 12, I don't like this chapter break. We talked about that before too, how at the very beginning of chapter 12 is basically an extension of the end of chapter 11. It's all one continuous flow. When I thought about this message this morning, I thought about the saying, the moment you are born, you begin to die. You know, the moment you're born, that's one day closer you are getting to death. And in reality, as we talk about old age this morning and some of the difficulties that come with it, I think in essence this is talking about living your life is what this is talking about. It says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. That's the whole springboard of what he talks about here when he talks about old age. A lot of people want to put remember your Creator in the days of your youth talking about you, but actually the springboard he's using for remembering your Creator in the days of your youth is so as you approach old age and as you get older, your life will have been lived for the kingdom of God, and there is great joy in that. So this morning we're going to talk about how do we grow old with grace. And Our bodies hurt, our faculties start to fall apart. How do you preserve and maintain a joyful spirit the closer you get to death, the closer you get to that increasing pain and frustration and the end of all things? It's interesting, the end of this book is talking about the end of your life. So he would end before he gets into the conclusion of the matter, which is fear God and keep his commandments. He would talk about the very end of your life, old age, the elderly. So, Psalm 90, I thought about Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. It says, "The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away." And I love that verse. 11 says, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" And we skip verse 11 a lot of times when we're talking about this, verses 10 through 12. We love 10 and we love 12, but we skip 11. Considering the power of God's anger and considering His wrath and the fear of Him leads us as we consider our life and what it means. And then verse 12 is the popular one. "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." That we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. So your days are numbered by your Creator, the Lord God Almighty. He's given you a set amount of time on this earth. I almost actually titled this message, "Remember Your Creator in the Days of Your Youth." Because the older you get, the less opportunity you have on this earth. That's just a fact. And we talked about last week how the youth is full of strength and vigor, and they have a sharp mind and all those advantages that the youth have. And those begin to fade as you get older. We'll talk about some other advantages that you have in old age. But those advantages from a youth start to fade. That's why the focus is, and when this is not just a message for the elderly. This is a message for the young. Who remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because these days are coming when it will be much more difficult. So you might ask yourself, how do I know if I'm old or not? And it's really, there's no set age to it. I've talked to people who have gotten real sick real fast, and it comes quickly, honestly. The end comes very quickly sometimes, and we don't know when it's coming. We got to be prepared at all times. But you're really missing the point altogether if you're trying to pinpoint an age when you get old and all these things are going to happen to you. The point is, have joy in your life now. Enjoy your life, live for the Lord, live for His kingdom. Those are the purposes that we have right now. How can you prepare for old age? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Continue to live for the Lord God. I actually was reading, trying to find a good quote, and I came across a quote from Pele's son. Pele is widely considered one of the greatest soccer players ever. And he's very old now, and his son came on just a few weeks ago and had a quote, and this is his son speaking. He said, "He's pretty fragile. He had a hip replacement and didn't have an adequate or ideal rehabilitation, so he has this problem with mobility, and that has set off a kind of depression. Imagine, he's the king. He was always such an imposing figure, and today he can't walk properly. He's embarrassed. He doesn't want to go out, be seen, or do practically anything that involves leaving the house. He is very sheepish and reclusive." So I read that and it just struck me in this verse, in this section we're going to talk about the infirmities from old age. This is going to happen to everybody. This is eventually everybody's body is going to break down. It's a natural part of life. And this is a very common thing from athletes especially. Pele, he was the greatest soccer player ever, could do amazing things on the soccer field, and now he can hardly walk. And he talks about depression, he talks about he's reclusive, he doesn't want to go out because people will see him limping, and they'll make fun of him or you know, laugh at him or do whatever. And old age wins every single time. This body will break down. There are two general ways that the world looks at old age. And they're characterized in two songs I thought about. One of them is Bruce Springsteen's song, famous song, "Glory Days." And this is the sad reminiscence of old age, where you look back on when you were young and the days were better. And a line in that song says, "Now I think I'm going down to the well tonight, and I'm going to drink till I get my fill, And I hope when I get old, I don't sit around thinking about it, but I probably will. Yeah, just sitting back, trying to recapture a little of the glory of, well, time slips away and leaves you with nothing, mister, but boring stories of glory days. So you're sitting around the rocking chair, the old people, and all you're doing is talking about the old days, about how you were young, and then you watch a young person go by, and man, look at that, one of those old days, we could do this and we can do that. And it's fine to talk about the old days and to reminisce and those kind of things, but I think so often it just becomes all you think about. The other song I thought about is this denial of old age and this pride that comes from the other way the world looks at old age, or as you get older, the way you look at it. And this is characterized by the George Jones song, "I Don't Need Your Rocking Chair." And he says, "I don't need your rocking chair, your Geritol or your Medicare. Well, I still got neon in my veins. The gray hair don't mean a thing. I do my rocking on the stage, and you can't put this possum in a cage. My body's old, but it ain't impaired. I don't need your rocking chair. I ain't ready for the junkyard yet, because I still feel like a new Corvette. It might take a little longer, but I'll get there. Well, I don't need your rocking chair." So even in that last stanza of that song, he talks about how he feels like a Corvette, but it takes him a whole lot longer to get where he's going. So he's going very slow. So he's basically contradicting himself there. But you see a lot of old people say, I ain't hurting, I ain't in pain, I'm fine. You know, I still feel like a young chicken. And that's the denial and the pride. And both of those are not the proper way to look at it from a Christian perspective. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Old age in a biblical way is encouraging and positive, and there's a lot of good things to come about it. And Solomon doesn't mince words here. He talks about the pain and the suffering and the stuff you're going to go through. But in the end, he talks about remembering your Creator and understanding your spirit is going to go to heaven one day. And I thought about, as we get to the end, at the very end of this section, he says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And in many ways, how you lived your life is going to dictate what you do when you get old. How you lived your life. You know, what did you do in your life? Was it all living for yourself? Is it all vanity? Is it all self things? One of my favorite movies of all time is the animated movie Up. In fact, it may be my favorite. I still cry over that movie, and I don't cry over hardly any movies. And if you know the movie, it's about an elderly couple that they had all these dreams that they were going to do, and then the wife dies and the husband is left, an old man. And at the beginning of the movie, he's a crotchety old man. He's mad at the world. He hates everybody. He just wants to die. And I think a lot of older people feel that way, where they just feel like they're cast aside and all that. And the whole movie is about that old man that is crotchety and mad at the world becoming... getting out of that and becoming to where he lives life again and he has purpose in his life and all those things. And if our whole life is wrapped up in something in this world, it doesn't matter what it is. That old man in the movie Up, his whole world was his wife. That was everything to him. And she died and then his whole life went downhill. We will have a most miserable end of our life if the entire focus of our life is on the things of this world. And that doesn't really matter when the end comes, honestly. It could come at old age or it could come when you're young. You will have a most miserable end of your life if your whole life is wrapped up in the things of this world. And open up your hymnal if you can. Last week we sung a song that really struck me, hymn number 472. And I just wanted to read the last two stanzas as we look at the way the world looks at old age. And then we contrast that with a biblical perspective. And I thought this hymn was really good, 472. Hymn 472 in the Trinity, and I'm just going to read the last two verses there, 5 and 6. It's 5 says, "In our weary hours of sickness, in our times of grief and pain, when we feel our mortal weakness, when the creature's help is vain, by the mercy of Thy mercy, O deliver us, good Lord." And then verse 6 says, "In the solemn hour of dying, in the awful judgment day, may our souls on Thee relying find Thee still our rock and stay. By Thy mercy, O deliver us, good Lord." And I thought about that in the weary hours of sickness and times of grief and pain, in the solemn hour of dying. He says, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning, may our souls on Thee relying find Thee still our rock and stay. So as the older we get in our life, the more we have to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to rely on Him at all times, really. So, chapter 12, verse 1, let's get into the actual Word of God here. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And again, the whole reason we are going to talk about old age and getting old and all these infirmities, the whole point he's making here is when you're young and when you have this strength and vigor, worship God, remember Him, serve the Lord, don't neglect it. We talked last week at the end of chapter 11, these two words, vexation and evil. We're supposed to remove them as youth. We talked about how vexation means anxiety, worry, grief, a troubled spirit. And we talked about how evil refers to chasing after the vain things of this world and being overwhelmed by the adversity of God. What he says here is the days are coming where those things will become all too real. When you will say, I have no pleasure in them. It was something you have to live with day by day. These pain, vexation, worry, troubled spirit, adversity from God, they will come quickly, and they will come for sure from God. So he says here, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Psalm 20, verse 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. And you notice he doesn't say the honor of old men is their strength. So as you get older, your strength starts to fade, and these things in your life start to fade. You have no pleasure in your latter years. And we'll talk about the pleasure that you can have in Christ. He's talking about physically here. This pain, this vexation, all these things that he's talking about is going to become all too real in your life as you get older. H.W. Beecher, I thought, had the best quote on this. He said, it is a beautiful thing for a man when he comes into old age to have no more preparation to make. If piety is the garment you have worn through a long and virtuous life, you may stand in your old age in the certainty of faith, waiting only that you may pass from glory to glory. A part of the spiritual preparation consists, I think, in living all the time with the distinct consciousness that our life is a joined one, that the best part of it is that which lies beyond, and that we are not to live for the life that lies between 1 and 80, but for the life that lies between 1 and eternity. And your long and virtuous life you live, the closer you get to old age and ultimately death, the harder it is going to be to ultimately live your life day by day. The physical infirmities are going to increase. The pain is going to increase. All that's going to increase. So if you are not prepared, if you have not been living this virtuous life, don't think all of a sudden as you get old, you're just going to snap your fingers and become righteous and closer to God and all those things. Almost every person I've talked to that has been elderly has said the habits you form and the things you do all throughout your life actually get stronger the older you get. All those things come out and you don't hold back as much when you get older. They come out more. And so don't think that you're going to get closer to the Lord just because of it. So what we're going to do, if you can open up your handout, a lot of commentators I read talked about how all these infirmities that he lists here in chapter 12 just sum it up and say there's a lot of pain and suffering. But he spends a lot of time on these, and I feel like we don't always understand. These are analogies or the way we would look at it, analogies of things. And there is some disagreement on some of these, which I'll mention. Some of them are a little more clear. And I just wanted to real quick run through these and kind of talk about what he's really talking about here. And the interesting thing is there's 22 things listed here, 22 things. And I honestly was shocked when I started making this list. I thought there was about 10 or 12, and when there's 22, it really stuck out to me that, yes, getting old is not fun. And he makes that very clear here, that getting old is not a fun thing to go through physically. So let's go through this. This will be verses 2 all the way through 6, even a little bit into 7. So there's a lot of verses here that he discusses these physical infirmities. So number 1 is the sun, light, and moon are darkened, and most commentators agree that this is the beauty of our countenance on the other side, the beauty of our countenance. So our physical appearance starts to go. This is wrinkles, and we start to become frail, and back, and all those things. We start to see the actual beauty. They say that beauty is in youth, and that is the way culture defines beauty, is the physical appearance. But that starts to go as you get older, and the beauty of our countenance. Number 2, clouds return after rain, and most were in agreement on this one too. It's the perpetual succession of afflictions. So if one affliction after another, the perpetual succession of afflictions. The older you get, you're going to have one issue come up, and you know we're used to that issue going away, and then there being some time before the next one comes. But as you get closer to death and closer and older, you're going to see one after the other after the other. The afflictions are going to come very quickly. Number 3, the keepers of the house tremble. The keepers of the house tremble. That's the body, arms and legs. Most were in agreement in this one, the body and the arms and legs. Benson writes, the body, which is often and fitly compared to a house, whose keepers are the hands and arms, which are man's best instruments to defend his body from the assaults of men or beast, and which, in a special manner, are subject to this trembling. So the trembling body, the shaking, you think about Parkinson's, just think about in general, as elderly, and they have trouble sometimes with shaking and things like that. Number 4, the strong men are bent. Now this was a couple of different things. It can be your back or your thighs. Your back or your thighs. I've always took this to mean the back, but there were multiple commentators who said they thought this was more to do with the thighs because of the way in the Hebrew this was written. Either way, this is talking about as you get older, your muscles and your body gets weaker. The thigh is one of the strongest muscles in the body. Your back is also very strong, and those start to get weak. Gill says it takes in thighs, legs, and feet having stronger muscles and tendons than any other parts of the body. But these, as old age comes on, are weakened and distorted and bend under the weight of the body, not being able, without assistance, to sustain it. So the trouble in our life is going to become from basic muscles becoming weaker. Number 5, grinders cease because they are few. And again, this was pretty much the same. You lose your teeth is what that's talking about. That's talking about your teeth, your grinders. And elderly people can tell you how much trouble they have with their teeth as they get older. They start to hurt. They eventually fall out. You have dentures. Both of my parents, who are in their late 60s, both have dentures. And so it is a problem as you get older. Number 6, those that look out the windows are dimmed and darkened. And this is talking about our eyes. Our eyes. Most agreed with this one as well. They get dim and dark. We cannot see things like we used to. Our eyes start to go. And the things of this world become dim. It's interesting. I thought about that song that says the things of this earth become strangely dim. And we talk about how God, what Solomon is talking about here is how God is removing these things from your life that cause you to focus on the vain things of this world so you can focus more on heaven. God is actually preparing you for heaven as you get older. And the question is, are you living for the lust of the eyes? Are you living for these things that you see? Or are you living for Christ and the beauty of heaven? The things of this earth will grow dim as you get older. They will start to fade. And that's a good thing, ultimately, as we get closer to heaven. Number 7, doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, And this is talking about the mouth. You have trouble speaking and eating. Trouble speaking and eating is talking about your mouth. Benson writes, "And these, our mouth, are said to be shut, not absolutely, as if men did never eat or drink or speak, but comparatively, because men in old age grow dull and listless, having little appetite to eat, and are very frequently indisposed for discourse." So it takes much more effort to speak as you get older, as your mouth just gets fatigued and your muscles get weak. And then eating, of course, we talked about losing teeth earlier, eating becomes much less enjoyable. And I think about eating a lot. You know, I enjoy eating. Eating's a fun thing to do, to taste good food. Well, all that stuff's going to start to go the closer you get to heaven. The food is going to become less enjoyable. Number eight, you shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And this is get up early and can't sleep. And most agreed on this one too. You get up early and you can't sleep. And the older we get, the more we have trouble sleeping. And I've talked to most folks about that, and most would agree that they have trouble. They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they can't go back to sleep, and there's problems like that. I thought about this, about if that happens to you, getting up, you can study the Word of God and spend some time in prayer and those kind of things. I know I've talked to people who do that as well, who will get out of bed when they can't sleep and go to the chair in the living room and just pray. And that's a good thing to do. Number nine, all the daughters of music shall be brought low. This is talking about your ears. Your ears will fail in hearing. Your ears. Poole writes, "The ears are become incapable either of making music or of delighting in it." So the sounds get muffled, the distorted, you can't hear as well. All those things you used to enjoy, like music and those kind of things, are going to start to fade. You struggle to have conversations with people. We talked about how your mouth hurts. You can't hardly hear either. So just having conversations with people becomes much less enjoyable. And we struggle in that area. Number 10, they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And this is afraid of moving around. Afraid of moving around. There's two things he lists here. Afraid of that which is high, and fear's in the way. So you're afraid of going up to a height, climbing steps, and just walking. A lot of elderly people die because they fall. That's a very common way to go. And there's very much fear in just walking around, in going up high or walking, that you may fall and hurt, break a hip or something like that. And then that could very well be the end of it. So this is a real fear that can actually cause death, definitely. 11, the almond tree shall flourish. And this is talking about gray hair. This is talking about gray hair. Now today we have all kinds of stuff you can put in your hair to not make it gray if you want, but your hair is still gray. I don't care how much stuff you put in it, you still have gray hair. And we'll talk about a little bit later how gray hair can lead to wisdom. But just understand it is coming. Your whole life is built by how pretty your hair is or how nice your hair looks. Eventually that's going to go. Number 12, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and this is they cannot endure the least burden. Cannot endure the least burden. So it's talking about how a grasshopper is actually a burden to them. Lifting heavy objects, doing all kinds of things can become a burden. Or what used to be easy, picking up things, doing things, what used to be easy will become difficult. Number 13, desire shall fail. And this is basic desire and satisfaction shall fail. Basic desire and satisfaction. Jameson Fawcett Brown writes, "Desire shall fail and satisfaction shall be abolished." We don't enjoy things anymore because of all these things we just talked about. The enjoyment of these things becomes less. Again, this is God's purpose. The purpose, the reason God removes all these satisfactions and these great things is because He wants to bring us closer to Him. He wants us to rely completely on Him. And number 14, man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. This is you watch people die all around you. Watch people die all around you. Your friends die, your spouses die, your siblings die. Everyone dies. It's a very real part of old age. And we don't think about that very often when we think about old age. We think about all the physical infirmities, but the mental infirmities can be just as harsh as you watch your friends and your parents and everyone around you die. And it's a sad thing to go through over and over again. So again, those are the difficulties presented. Now, in verse 6, he switches over to talking about what takes place in the hour of death. So we have to make a distinction there. This is verse 6. These five things he lists in verse 6 are what he's talking about at the very hour of death. And the silver cord is snapped, and that's talking about the spinal cord, is what that's talking about. The spinal cord is snapped. Now, you can have debilitating back problems, certainly, where you can hardly walk, you're laid up in a bed, but this says snap, so I think this is really talking about death here, where it's snapped. Number 2, the golden bowl is broken. That's referring to the brain. The golden bowl is referring to the brain in the ancient Hebrew language. So again, we can have all kinds of problems with our brain, Alzheimer's, we've seen that recently, and mental forgetfulness and those kind of things. But again, this says broken, so I mean it could not be functioning properly, but it also could literally mean death here. R.C. Sproul writes, broken vessels and severed cords suggest the frailty that comes with aging. The frailty that comes with aging. The older you get, the more frail your body is going to get. Number 3, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, and this is talking about the heart. The pitcher is shattered at the fountain. Again, you can have very severe heart issues where you've got all kinds of things, pacemaker and defibrillator and all those things, but this says shattered. So again, I think this is referring to the hour of death. A wheel is broken at the cistern, and this is talking about the left ventricle of the heart, the left ventricle. So when the wheel is broken, that's your pulse, your heart rate, the blood flow is actually stopped. And then the final thing, the dust returns to the earth. So all this leads up to you are dead. There are many. It's interesting as you look at all these physical infirmities that come from old age. You talk to many elderly people, and they'll say they wish they were dead. You know, this pain and suffering I'm going through, I just want to be done with it. I want to be dead. And it's also interesting that at the very end of people's life, when they do have all this pain and suffering and you can tell they're right at death's door, it's very seldom that you see that near-death experience where they convert to Christ and they become a Christian if they have not been throughout their life. And it's a very unfortunate thing. There's nothing in my life that is more sad than to watch an elderly person that you know is going and death is right there and they still don't have a heart of repentance. And they still, even in their old age and their pain, they still have this pride that says, I'm fine, I'm going to do it myself. And just right there is death. And you got to think, that's got to be something that just weighs on their mind as older we get, is what is beyond? What is beyond this life? Because if you're laying up in your deathbed, this whole life is gone. The vanity of this world has become evident by just the very fact that you're there. And we need to pray that those who are, that we know, that we can be a witness to them and that they would convert. So verse number 7 says, the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So being dead is not the end. Your spirit is going to return to God. You are going to be judged one day. Proverbs 16:31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by a righteous life. It is gained by a righteous life. Just because you die doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you die doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. So old age prepares us for the life to come. Old age prepares us for the life to come. And that God removes all these wonderful things you enjoy, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your health, your muscles, all these things He removes so that you can focus more on Him and understand the end is coming. Things are going to be more difficult. Old age is not fun. That's very evident by these 22 things He lists here. But there is great joy beyond. Now let's open up your handout again and let's talk about real quick. We've touched on a lot of the infirmities and pain and suffering that comes from old age. And I wanted to talk real quick about some benefits that come from old age, or that can come from old age if you remembered your Creator in the days of your youth and your life has been lived for Christ. Number one, much wisdom. Much wisdom. Job 12:12 says, "Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding?" We've talked about wisdom a lot in Ecclesiastes, how the older we get, the more wisdom we should be gaining in our life. Is that true of your life, young, old? Are you gaining wisdom? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you understanding the Word of God? Think about it for a minute. You may not even be able to read the Word of God very well someday. You may not be able to hear very well someday. Those things that you've done throughout your life are going to be implanted in you as you live. Ephesians 4:13 says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And that's our goal, to mature manhood, to godliness, to gaining in Christ. Number two, you have much time to read God's Word. In your handout, number two, much time to read God's Word. So you hear, I hear a lot of elderly folks say how lonely they are and how hard it is because nobody visits them, and it's difficult because they have a general feeling of not being wanted. And I think opportunities come from that, from being able to study the Word of God more and being able to do things like that, dig deep into the Word and in a book. And again, when I go to visit elderly people and I see them just sitting in front of a TV all the time, just flipping through the channels. Back when I was young, we didn't used to have all the channels we had today and all the TV shows we have today and all that. There's something new every week. But instead of doing that, let's study the Word of God. Let's take time to read and to learn about that kind of stuff. Number three, you have much time to pray. Much time to pray. And I think the most valuable asset you can bring as an elderly person is you have much time to pray. Prayer. Because a lot of times you can't do the physical things that you could when you were young, and you can't do that kind of stuff, but you can always pray. And praying is a very powerful thing. Mark's been talking about all prayer and how that is one of the pieces of the armor. But remember that you're not going to get just all of a sudden when you get old and your body breaks down and you can't do the things you want to do. You're not just going to snap and be able to pray great all of a sudden. Again, this is remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So start forming a habit of prayer now. Start learning how to pray, spending time in prayer. So when you do get old and all these things fall on you, you're more apt in your mind to know how to pray, and it comes easier for you. And finally, number four, you're closer to death. You're closer to death. And again, you may be thinking, how is this a benefit? But it is a benefit. That's the whole point he's making here, is that you are getting older and you're getting closer to your blessed Savior. As hard as it is to leave loved ones, to leave those kind of things behind, there is nothing better than to be with your Heavenly Father in heaven, to be in the presence of God Almighty. And that's a good thing. It's something to look forward to. It's something to keep in your mind that each day I'm going through these infirmities and this pain, and God is going to bring me home. Isaiah 46:4 says, "Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you." So remember that as you get older. Remember that God sustains you and He draws you to Him. And on your handout, I thought about four ways we can prepare for old age. A lot of times there is this preparation that comes, and we've talked about that a little bit with learning how to study the Word of God and learning how to pray. But some practical things as we wrap this up that we can learn to prepare for old age. Number one is understand that it is coming. Understand that it is coming. And that George Jones song that I don't need your rocking chair is not the proper way to look at old age. That you're going to just fight through it, and all these other people that have these pains and suffering, and that's not going to affect me. I think about in my life as a runner preparing for a big race or preparing for something. You get ready for it. You think about it. You train for it. And all those things we have to prepare for old age because it is coming. Number two, talk to the elderly about their difficulties. Talk to the elderly about their difficulties. It's not a bad thing. We get in this culture, in this peer culture, where everybody around you is exactly your same age, and that's not healthy. We need to have levels of friendships and levels of mentoring. And it's not a bad thing for a youth to have an elderly person as a mentor so they can properly understand all these things that are coming. As a person who's lived their life in a godly manner and reached old age, that talk to them, understand these things that they've been through and ways you can prepare better to old age. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you." The elderly have much to tell about their life. They've lived a ripe, good life. And it's a good thing to have friendships like that and mentors like that. Number three is eat right and live healthy. Eat right and live healthy. So your body is going to break down a lot faster if you are unhealthy. If you are living an unhealthy life and you're not in the type of shape you need to be in, you're eating wrong, you're sleeping little, you're not exercising at all. And this exercises the body and the mind too. You got to exercise your mind as well. But overall, good health, you will be able to enjoy your old age more the healthier you are. The more you get out, the more you have those things, and you eat well, and you sleep well. And it's not always easy to do. I know in our life, as life just gets busy and everything. But the question is, when do you want to sacrifice? I look at a lot of young people who just eat junk food all the time, barely get any sleep, and don't exercise at all. And then they say, oh, when I get older, I'll start exercising and do those things. But that's not the way it works. You want to sacrifice now while you're young and you have vigor and energy, so when you're older, you can have better energy and your body will respond better. And last thing, get your heart right now. Get your heart right before God now. Before old age, get your heart right before God now. So when you talk to elderly people, they say all those bad habits you have, all those problems you had as a young person that you suppress, the anger, all those things that you suppress as a young person, as these physical infirmities start coming on you, you start to suppress those things less and they come out more. And you start to, your anger becomes more pronounced and all these bad habits you form become worse. And so right now we need to get things under control, because when your body hurts and everything's painful and everything's hard to do, it's going to be a lot more difficult to have self-control and to be able to suppress those things in your heart. But if day by day you're learning to suppress those things and learning to have self-control, as you get older, that will be an easier thing to do. So he ends this section a very interesting way. He says, "Vanity of vanities," in verse 8, says the preacher, "all is vanity." As we get old, we talked about this at the beginning of the book, and we're going to talk about it at the end of the book. What has your life been lived for? What have you done in your life? The older you get, the more you're going to look back on your life and say, how much have I wasted my life on vain things? Vanity of vanities. What is your life? What is the purpose of your life? What day by day are you living for? This life is fleeting. It's going. Our days are numbered. We see that more and more in our life as we get older. So if you're sitting around all day doing whatever for your own self and doing nothing for the kingdom of God and the glory of God, you're not training your heart in righteousness, you're not training your mind in the things of God, then vanity of vanities, all is vanity. As you get old, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to say, man, how I have wasted my life on vain things. And now it's the end, and it's gone. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Worship God now. Don't wait till you get the end of your life and you say, man, what have I done? How are we to grow old with grace, or to grow old in grace? By remembering God now, by worshiping God now, by preparing our hearts now for old age. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Aren't you glad that Christ is renewing you day by day? Each day as you focus on Him, you are getting renewed. Let's go forth in the Spirit and power of Christ to live our lives for Him, to live our lives with purpose and meaning, no matter what age you are, so that as we get old, as these sufferings and pain come upon us, we can better prepare our hearts to worship God and live for Him. Let's focus on Christ as we get closer to Him. He will remove those vain things from your life one way or another, but let's go ahead and do it now. Let's get those things out of our life so that we can properly worship and love Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You for the many blessings that You've given to us. I just pray for each person here that You would prepare our hearts, Lord. This life is not easy. It is difficult. We have toil and trouble and pain and suffering, and yet it is purpose and meaning in Christ. Help us, God. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. This world is meaningless, God, apart from You. Everything we do in this life that is not for Your kingdom and Your glory will be utterly wasted as we get to the end of our life. I pray that we would be remembering our Creator in the days of our youth, that we would be focused on Christ, so that as we get to the end of our life, we can look back with joy and with peace and contentment, knowing that we've lived our life for Christ, knowing that we've done all that we could for the glory of God. Oh, instill in our hearts a desire for You. Remove those vain things in our life, even now, Lord, as You do remove them in old age. But I pray You would remove them now so that we can focus on You and focus our hearts on You. We need You, Christ, at all times. We need the love of Christ in our hearts. Prepare us now to walk in Your ways, no matter what happens outwardly in our life. And thank You for Your Word, God. Sustain us through Your Word. I pray for Pastor Mark this morning that You would give him the words to say and help us to be attentive and listen. And may our hearts be right before You as we study the Word of God. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.